about to own, to control, It is considered honourable, said Lord Rust. I believe that on the night before the famous Battle of Pseudopolis, officers from both sides attended a ball at Lady Silachi's, for example. The prince glanced questioningly at General Achal, who nodded. Really? Obviously we have so much to learn. As the poet Mosheda says, I can't believe this man.
Ah, yes, said Lord Rust. Clachian is a very poetic language.
Excuse me, sir, said Lieutenant Hornet.
What is it, man?
There's, something going on. There was a column of dust in the distance. Something was approaching fast.
One moment, said General Achal.
He came back from his saddle with an ornate metal tube, covered in curly Clachian script. He squinted into one end and pointed the other at the cloud.
Mounted men, he said, camels and horses. That's a make-things-bigger device, isn't it?
Said Lord Rust.
My word, you are up to date. They were invented only last year. I didn't buy this, my lord. I inherited it from my grandfather.
The general looked through the eyepiece again.
About 40 men, I'd say.
Dear me, murmured Prince Kadram. Reinforcements, Lord Rust?
The rider in the lead is holding a banner, I think, still rolled up.
Certainly not, sire, said Lord Rust.
Behind him, Lord Silachi rolled his eyes.
Ah, now he's unfurling it. It's a white flag, sire.
Someone wishes to surrender? The general lowered his telescope.
They seem to be in a great hurry to do so, sire.
Send a squad to apprehend them, said Prince Kadram.
We will do so too,
added Lord Rust hurriedly, nodding to the lieutenant.
Ah, a joint effort, said the prince.
A few seconds later, groups of men detached themselves from each army and rode out on an interception course. Everyone saw the sudden glints of sunlight from the approaching cloud. Weapons had been drawn.
Fighting under a flag of surrender? That's immoral, said Lord Rust.
Novel, certainly, said the prince.
The three companies would have met had it not been that even experts find it hard to judge how much ground a running camel can cover. By the time both commanders realized they should start to turn, they should already have been turning.
It seems your people misjudged things, sire, said Lord Rust.
I knew I should have had them led by white officers, said the prince, but... Oh, dear, it seems your men have been equally unlucky.
He stopped. Some confusion had resulted. The foray parties had their instructions, but no one had told them what to do if they ran into the other foray party. And it was composed, after all, of men they were about to fight, and everyone knew they were treacherous, greasy towelheads, or perfidious, untrustworthy, sausage-eating madmen. And this was a battlefield, and everyone was frightened and therefore angry, and everyone... was armed. Sam Vimes heard the shouting behind him, but had other things on his mind at this point. It is impossible to ride a running camel without concentrating on your liver and kidneys, in the hope that they won't be pounded out of your body. The thing's legs weren't moving right, he was sure. Nothing on normal legs could be jolting him around so much. The horizon jerked backwards and forwards, and up and down. What was it Ahmed had said? Vimes hit the camel hard and yelled, "Hut, hut, hut, hut." It accelerated. The jolts ran together so that his body was no longer being jolted, but was in effect in a permanent state of jolt. Vimes thrashed it again and tried to yell, "Hut, hut, hut, hut," although the word came out more like... In any case, the camel found some extra knees somewhere. There was more shouting behind him. Turning his head as much as he dared, he saw several of his accompanying dregs falling behind. He was certain he heard Carrot yell, but he couldn't be certain because of his own screaming.
"Stop, you bastard!" he yelled.
The tent was coming up fast. Vimes slapped the stick down again and hauled on the reins and clearly, now judging with special camel sensitivity, that this was the most embarrassing moment to stop, the camel stopped. Vimes slid...